Welcome aboard the Wedding Empires podcast with yours truly, Jack Bowie, where we plunge into the depths of creativity, entrepreneurship, and the love-infused world of weddings. Each episode, we're going to unpack strategies, insights, and stories that empower you to craft the wedding business of your dreams. Welcome to the Wedding Empires podcast. Welcome aboard the Wedding Empires podcast with yours truly, Jack Bowie, where we plunge into the depths of creativity, entrepreneurship, and the love-infused world of weddings. Each episode, we're going to unpack strategies, insights, and stories that empower you to craft the wedding business of your dreams. Welcome to the Wedding Empires podcast. Welcome to Wedding Empires. In today's episode, I am joined by my darling friend, Kylie Lang, who is the brains behind the Wedding Academy, and also a quiz whiz extraordinaire. Get ready to dive deep into some of the magic of quiz marketing for wedding pros. Kylie's here to spill the beans on how fun quizzes can hook your audience, boost your leads, and ramp up your sales. From founding the Wedding Academy to becoming the queen of quizzes, she's got a treasure trove of tips on making quizzes your secret marketing weapon. Whether you're snapping photos, arranging bouquets, or planning dream weddings, tune in to this episode to discover how quizzes can add that extra sparkle to your business. Let's master quiz marketing for your wedding business together. Kylie, I am so excited to have you here. Whether we were doing a podcast or not, just any excuse to hang with you and talk.
Thank you so much. It's so exciting to be here. I love that. Quiz whiz. I usually say quiz queen. Quiz queen, quiz whiz. How about quiz whiz, quiz queen? Don't say that when you're drunk. It's so nice to be back. It really is. And thank you for having me as well.
I mean, I think most people who are connected with the Wedding Academy will know that this podcast was first called Wedding CEO, and you were the host. So
I was, yes.
Only makes sense that we do a sort of handover episode where the previous host and myself catch up, and
which is so nice because the Wedding Academy is still in my blood. It never goes away. I mean, it was 15 years that I ran the Academy for, which is a really, really long time. And you don't just forget about it. You don't just switch off completely. So I still keep my finger on the pulse with things to do with weddings. Obviously not as much as I used to, not by a long shot, but you never completely wave goodbye. And I loved doing the podcast. It was one of my favorite things to do. I just love talking, as you probably know, and so do you. So it's the match made in heaven, really.
And you know what? The Academy community felt the same. So many people have said to me, when you're bringing back the podcast, like, we love the podcast. So you definitely made an impact with that. And you know what? I would have kept the name. However, when I went on to Apple Podcasts, there's been a few that have popped up in your absence that have similar wedding CEO names.
Yeah,
so
well,
I thought, oh, right.
Yeah, I couldn't. I don't think I actually managed to end up getting the domain name either. So it needed a rebrand, and the rebrand of the Academy has happened, which it looks fantastic. So I think the timing was right for a bit of an update.
Yes. Yes, I'm so glad that you liked the Wedding Academy branding. I was very nervous revealing that to you because I know it's your baby too.
Yeah, but you know what? You know, it's just like a wardrobe. Everything needs a spring clean every now and again, doesn't it? You get rid of the old and you bring in the new. You kind of have to, don't you? We all update our wardrobe, so we have to update our brands as well.
Yes. Now, that leads me to my first question, actually. How the hell does someone go from being the founder of the Wedding Academy to becoming the quiz queen? Let's unpack that, because that's quite a plot twist.
That is quite a plot twist. But for those who know me, and probably a few on this listening to this episode will know me if they've been in the Academy community for any length of time, they know I like to liken myself to Madonna, who is the queen of reinvention. So I love to reinvent myself on a regular basis. And quizzes actually were the first lead magnet I ever used for the Wedding Academy. So there is actually a link in there. So when we go back, like, years and and years ago. This was before really social media had taken over the world, and things were a little bit different. We didn't even really have lead magnets. So we're talking back in like 2015, 2016. So the Wedding Academy was just the top of everything. I didn't really have to work too hard. It just kind of happened because we didn't have a lot of competition. Then things started to change and people were talking about building email lists. I'm thinking, what? I don't need to build it. It just builds itself. And then I realized that actually that wasn't the case anymore and that we needed a lead magnet. And I was never really one for things like checklists and that type of thing. And I wanted something that was more fun, because that's very much how I promoted the academy. I made sure it wasn't stuffy. It was different, because even then e-learning was still quite new, and doing video of any description with small companies like mine, again, it wasn't a big thing. So I wanted to keep things fun and in the vein of the academy. So I started this quiz, and literally the quiz was, do you have what it takes to become a wedding planner? I mean, it was a no-brainer really. And people loved it because it just went viral. And I'm thinking, hold on a minute, there's something to this Quizlark. And so I developed it and developed it and developed it. And I realized that a big part of what I did at the academy that I really enjoyed was marketing, writing and research. Those were the things I really, really enjoyed. And you can combine all those things when you're doing quizzes. And I realized that actually I had a really good aptitude for being able to write copy that was engaging, that was fun, that drew people in. I've always been able to do sort of rhyming poems and that type of thing. I love alliterations. And so I realized that I could develop all these different quizzes. And so I started playing around. Friends of mine with businesses came to me and said, can you create me one? And as I developed them for other people, I kind of just developed my own strategy. And I realized I just loved doing them. They were really good fun. And that it kind of snowballed from there. And then when I realized that it was time for somebody new to come and breathe new life into the academy, I knew that that was what I wanted to do. So it was, it ended up being quite a natural progression, even though it doesn't sound like it would be.
So in the crowded world of wedding marketing, quizzes are kind of like the unexpected guest that livens up the party, aren't they? Because there's, you know, so many, download your free guide and your free spreadsheet and your, you know, it's...
Let's face it. If somebody says to me, download a free spreadsheet, I'm going to go, no thanks, because I can't think of anything more boring, to be quite honest. But that's, I mean, that is just me. I am not a spreadsheet girl. I'm not a numbers girl, to be totally honest. I hate numbers. I was terrible at maths. But the point is any type of PDF that you download, unless somebody downloads it, reads it immediately and gets completely engaged, which, by the way, just never really happens, it ends up gathering virtual dust on your computer desktop. It just, nothing happens with it. It's not interactive. And if you think about how we engage in today's world, think about gaming, you know, gamification, for example. People love to do competitions. They like to do things that are interactive. They want immediate results. They want to see and feel involved. But above and beyond all else as well, they don't want things that are generic. They want something that's about them. And we're all like that at the end of the day. I mean, you think, go all the way back to when you were younger, and I'm older than you, but I remember doing the quizzes in Cosmopolitan, how to keep your man happy in bed. You know, all these different types of quizzes that you used to do. So is it really any different? No. We were drawn in by those quizzes half the time by the magazine for the quiz. So it's no different now. All we've done is we've taken it from offline in a magazine to online on a website. And instead of being able to give people money for the magazine to see the quiz and do, you know, do the quiz, you're giving people your email address and name. Yes. It's just a different currency. That's all it is. But it's a tried and tested format that we've loved for years. I'm 53. I was doing those quizzes back when I was 12. So, you know, nothing has changed there. It's just the platform that we deliver it on. So when you think about it from a lead magnet perspective, what would you rather do? Do a quiz that gives you your superpower for becoming a wedding planner, or download this spreadsheet to find out how to do a wedding budget? I know which one I'd choose.
There's still a place for that, but it's got to be really valuable, you know?
And it does.
We're going to unpack what happens when people do quizzes and the results and what you can do with that, because that's obviously very clever where you can go with that. But I guess in a general way, for people that think quizzes are just fun and games, can you make a case for me on why they need to put a ring on their quiz marketing strategy and what kind of transformative results they can expect?
So what you've got to think about is, as I said, when it comes to relationship building, what you deliver to them at the end has to be relative to that. So your quiz results are your power. That is your superpower. That is where you deliver something that's completely personalized to them. But how on earth do you do that? Aha, well, this is where the strategy comes in. And when I'm building a quiz for a client, I start from the end and I work my way back again. So you don't start with the questions. They're the last thing you do. The first thing you do is you work out what is the big problem that you're solving for your client. Now, with me, my clients are solving all sorts of problems. I mean, I'm working with an artist who's got a membership. I'm working with a dating coach. Go figure. I'm working with somebody who sells menopause pills. So relatable for me right now. And so there are different problems that they solve. So as a wedding planner, what is your raison d'etre? You know, what is your special sauce? What is that thing that you do for them that nobody else can do? So you need to think of it from that perspective, because that is the bit that you're selling to them. Then you need to think about the generic problem that your leads would have. So is it that they're time poor? And so they need a wedding planner. Is it that they don't have the faintest idea where to start because they need a wedding planner? Is it because they're completely freaked out that COVID might happen again, so they need a wedding planner? Like, there's all these different things that will be going on inside the heads of your couples. And it is your job to think about what is the generic problem? Because we dig deeper with the results. So you need to ask a burning question that your leads have got, that they'll be going onto Google or Bing or YouTube or wherever to try and find the answer to. So in the case of the Wedding Academy, when I was building that quiz, I knew that the burning question most people had was, do I have what it takes to become a wedding planner? Could I do it? Could I make money from it? Could I be successful? Those are all the questions that I know pretty much every single person in my audience have the same question. But what was making them ask that question would be different dependent upon the personality of the person. And that's where your quiz results come in. So let's stick with that example for the moment.
Yeah.
So you think about that particular question. Do I have what it takes to become a wedding planner? So why would somebody be asking that question? And that's where your results come in. So it could be, and you can do this two ways, because quizzes can be negative or they can be positive. So with a positive quiz, that's where we use things like, and I've done this one before for the Wedding Academy as well, we do things like superpowers. So what is your wedding planning superpower? Okay, I didn't quite put it like that, but, you know, that's the essence of it. You know, is it that you are, you know, a planning perfectionist? Is it that you are creative Kate? Is it that you are super speedy Susan? You know, what is it that makes you a great wedding planner? What is your superpower, and how can we develop that superpower to turn you into the world's best wedding planner? You know, are you budgeting Bessie type thing? You know, it might be that budgeting is your superpower. It might be that planning is your superpower. It might be that creativity is your superpower. It might be that floral design is your superpower. Whatever it is, then that is a positive quiz, not a negative quiz. But actually, it's often the negative quizzes that work even better. So this is where in my world, I would use things like, you know, what is your success saboteur, for example? I mean, that's a really basic one. But we're wanting to find out what the root of the problem is. So as far as the Wedding Academy is concerned, you might say, what's stopping you from becoming a wedding planner? What's the main success saboteur to your wedding planning journey? Or, you know, any of those things. And then what you're going to do is look at that question and say, well, actually, there's four reasons why somebody might be holding themselves back from becoming a wedding planner. Confidence would be one of them. Time might be another one. So you've got to think about all these things that would be stopping somebody from booking your services and wanting to use you. Is it because they don't have the money? Is it because they don't have the time? Is it because, or it could be anything, any of those things. But you need to be looking at that, and you need at least three of them. So I always say the sweet spot is four. If you're going to do five, there needs to be a damn good reason, because five is a lot of work, because you have to develop quiz results for each of those outcomes, as we call it.
Maybe I have 5 certificates and I want to match up the person with a certificate.
So that works really, really well. And we did do that in the very beginning. That was our first quiz because we had very defined certificates at that time. And we used to do event planning at that time as well. So we had the certificate in event planning, one in event design, one in floral design, and one in wedding planning. And so I had 4 outcomes. And as you say, each one directly related back to that certificate. So you see how this all starts to come together. You start with your big question and then you find out why somebody might be asking that big question, and those are your outcomes. So you've got that far, which is great. And by the way, you should try and come up with some really fun, quirky little outcome names. It just makes it so much more interesting. I'm working with a client at the moment. She's lovely. She's Dutch. So you can imagine what. I'm now doing them in Dutch as well. There's a lot of Google Translate goes on. But no, I'm advising her more and she's doing the writing. But for example, she's a web designer, and she knows that there are certain types of clients that come to her. One of them is Chaotic Kate. You know, Chaotic Kate is all over the place. Another one is Successful Susan. Now, Successful Susan has everything, has the budget, doesn't want to do it herself, et cetera, et cetera. But you see how those alliterations and names, people can immediately start to relate to them. And this would work very well in the wedding industry as well, because we work on a very personal basis and we want to better connect with that outcome. So once you've got your outcome names, you then need to develop the outcomes. And the outcomes are where, as I say, this is your secret weapon, these outcomes, because if you know your ideal client well enough, and you will have heard me in the past banging on about ideal clients, it's so bloody important. Because if you don't know your ideal client, how can you write anything that is going to be relatable to them? How can you really allow them to have that light bulb moment of, oh my God, he or she really gets me. They understand my struggles with planning my wedding. So you've got to know what really makes them tick. You've got to know those phrases. You've got to know those buzzwords that are going to really, you know, get to them and make them sit up and take notice. Because when you write those quiz results, each one has to be individual to that unique personality type. Yes. That's a lot of work. So to give you an idea, when I'm writing quiz results for my clients, I start with the first one and I come up with a structure. And then the others after that are a lot easier because I've got this structure in place. What's the first section going to be about? What's this? And I have 6 or 7 sections within my quiz results. So it can take me a week to 2 weeks to flush out the first quiz result because there's a lot of detail in there. I want to get the wording right. I want to understand how they would describe things, not how I would describe them, how they would describe them. So I do a lot of customer research to really find out their turn of phrase, because that's much more important than my turn of phrase. Who gives a crap about my turn of phrase? We want this to sound like them. So when they're reading it, they're like, that could be me. I say this stuff in my head. It's so important. So the first part of your quiz results is literally going to be revealing the results, but you need to have some really good key phrases in there using the audience's voice rather than yours. And then you start to work your way down the quiz results. You talk about what their problem is, how it can be resolved. But you never look at, even though it is a negative quiz, you never look at it from a negative point of view. You talk about the fact that there is light at the end of the tunnel and they're not on their own and they can absolutely overcome this. Not in those words, but that's the essence of what you're writing. So that usually is the second section. Sometimes there'll be a video in there. If you can put a video in there in that first section, absolutely do it. People connect with voices. They connect with faces. They might not play all of it, but you've also got to remember that you need to account for the different types of people and the different ways they consume content. Some people are readers. That's me. Some people are listeners. Some like this podcast, some people will listen to it. Some people will watch it, which is why Jack is making me do video and put my face on early in the morning. But anyway, we won't say anything more about that. But everybody consumes content in a very different way.
I don't love video either. Just putting it out there.
So you do have to consider this. It is super, super important to think about the ways people consume content. So if you can do a video, do it. And if possible, do a video with a backdrop of a beautiful table or with you at a venue or somewhere that's really relatable, not an office wall. Do it in somewhere creative because you're in a creative industry. So, you know, if you're a floral designer, have a beautiful design of flowers with you at the same time as, you know, delivering the quiz results. And if you've got four quiz results, there needs to be four different emails. Videos. You need to make sure that each one is relevant to that particular quiz result. And they're short. They're usually not more than 90 seconds. You don't have to waffle on and on. You keep them short, succinct, to the point, but you deliver those quiz results and you say something really meaningful that is relatable to that particular character. Then you move down to section three, and section three is where you start to unpack, I'll use your word, unpack the various different stuff that's going on that's got them to that point. And that can be, it will be different for everybody. You can look at some of my quiz results to see how I do that. And Jack will give you the link to two of my quizzes later on. So you can do them and you can see how I've put together these quiz results. No, they're not wedding ones, but they will show you how to structure a really good quiz. And then in section four, that's when you start to get to the light bulb moment of here's how we're going to overcome this. Here's how I can help you, but not in a salesy type of way. This is not your chance to sell to them. This is your chance to be the helpful expert. Then for me, section five, I like to give them something, and this, I create this now for my clients. It's something I've become known for. I give them a solution that is a strategy that is all theirs. And I often use an acronym. So for example, for one of my artists, we've used the acronym DRAW, and I've come up with a different word for each letter that forms part of their strategy for helping their clients to become better artists.
I love it.
So I have these little solutions that I put together, and it's always based on a word that is very relevant. Usually it's a word they use all the time. So for example, I had a makeup artist that I worked with once, and she used the word sparkle. So we used sparkle and we came up with a way to manipulate that. So it came up with how she makes you sparkle on your wedding day. You know, so there's very clever things that you can do with it. I mean, you have to have that sort of brain, but it's actually not that hard when you come up with it. You know, if you just sit down and think about what it is that you talk about all the time, there's usually a word you use that's very relevant to your business that you can then use to put together some sort of strategy that becomes your thing. And then the beauty of that strategy is you can talk about it everywhere. You can break it down on social media. It becomes your thing that you become known for. And I was very big with this when we were talking about starting your wedding business. You know, I used to talk about it all the time. What's your, you know, what's that thing that is just yours that you and you alone have developed that you can talk about? Nobody else can nick it because it is absolutely something you have just developed that's your own. So yes, that becomes part of your quiz results. And then usually the next part, six, is usually about you, but you keep it short and sweet. This is not your CV. Please don't write it like a CV. It needs to be about you, the person behind the brand, not the wedding planner or the floral designer or the, you know, or the venue or whoever. It needs to be about you. People buy into people. They don't buy into brands. And so you need to tell them who you are, but you keep it quite short. There needs to be a beautiful photo of you doing your thing, along with something very short and sweet. Again, look at mine and you'll see what I've done. I talk about the fact that I love ABBA and I sing it at the top of my lungs in the French countryside all the time. That has zero to do with quizzes, but people love it. They quote ABBA at me all the time. It's hilarious. Yeah. I get these emails from people saying to me, oh, my favourite ABBA song is blah, 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 blah. I'm like, you've done my quiz. You've read my website. So it's these little things that people connect with you over.
So, Kylie, I understand perfectly how it works from, like, the Wedding Academy perspective. I understand, you know, people will do a quiz and we spit out to them what certificate would be the right fit. And, you know, we quite often we'll use that in our free consultations. We'll have that information in front of us, you know, so we're well informed before we do those consultations. But say you're a wedding photographer, right, and you're targeting couples, that's going to be different. So I guess I'd love to hear kind of your process step by step for dreaming up the perfect quiz for a business like that.
Oh, okay, so I've done one of these. But it wasn't, it was a photographer, but it wasn't a photographer. Well, she did do weddings, but not really. Her big raison d'etre was baby photos. And so what we came up with was, I said to her, look, a lot of parents want to have photos of their babies, but we need to think about what is the thing they that's holding them back from booking a session. And she said to me, usually that the baby's not going to behave itself or perform.
It's not a monkey, so it's not going to perform.
No. This was the interesting thing. And so this is actually very relevant to wedding photographers, because you could then turn that on its head and say, well, what is holding a lot of your couples back? Now, it might be that you are a photographer who is particularly good at helping shy people shine on camera. So a lot of people are quite nervous. My husband was one of them. Now, we all know me. I am an extrovert. I'll do anything to get my photo taken. I love it. But my husband, complete opposite. I almost have to drug him to get him to be in a photo. So we did have that problem. And the photographer we chose marketed himself as being particularly good for helping shy grooms. What a great way of marketing yourself. And wow. So I took that thought when I was working with my baby photographer, and I said to her, okay, if we think of it from that perspective, babies aren't shy, but babies are unpredictable. We don't know what they're going to do. We don't know how they're going to perform. So we created a quiz called What's My Baby's Picture Perfect Personality?
Oh my God, I would just want to do this.
It was such a great quiz. And so we came up with, off the top of my head, because obviously I've not prepped this, I can't remember the various different characters, but we literally had, one of them was definitely the adventurer. She said, you've got the baby that just climbs everywhere. It's all over everything. You had the curious one who was just putting its fingers into everything. You had the one that just cried. Like, there was just these different personalities of these babies that we then wrote about. So we played on this. You know, is your baby the adventurer? Here's how I deal with an adventurer. Here's how I can make them feel at ease. And so the whole way through that, it was all about the baby. And it wasn't about the parents. It was about how we would make that baby feel, how we would be able to take control, not we, her, be able to take control of them within the studio. So a very similar thing could be done with a photographer. It would be so easy to take that and talk about what type of couple are you when it comes to having your photos taken. You know, are you the shy couple? Are you the extroverts? You know, because then you can help them find their best types of photos that they would have done in their wedding. So rather than, you know, rather than coming at it from a budget perspective, which let's face it, we all do, try and get a lot more creative. Try and think, and this doesn't just apply to photographers, this, you know, applies to every wedding professional out there. Think back to the different consultations that you've done. What are the biggest objections that come up apart from money? What is it that you hear from your clients? So like we say, from a photographer's point of view, it's quite normal for at least one part of the couple to be very, very shy. Mm. But what about floral designers? Okay, maybe it's that they haven't got an eye for color. Now, believe it or not, when I got married and the floral designer said to me, what type of flowers do you want? I went, I don't know. I haven't got the faintest idea. Just something that goes with purple, because my husband's wearing a purple tie. That was as excited as I got. I'm not a flower person. Everybody knows this about me. I kill them as soon as I look at them. Our old floral designer, Dee, used to have kittens every time we were doing any video content around flowers. She'd be like, back off, you're going to kill them. And so we know this. But I'm sure I'm not alone. There will be a lot of brides who love the idea of flowers, but haven't got the faintest idea how to put together a colour palette. As a wedding designer, again, you've got people who just aren't creative. So think about the things that hold people back. Their insecurities that they don't necessarily like to talk about, but they'd go on and do a quiz about it because nobody needs to know. But you're calling out that biggest insecurity they've got around their wedding and showing how you can help them, how you understand them, how you are telling them that that's not a big problem. Don't worry about it. We can get over that. And this is how we're going to do it. So that's how you need to think of this type of scenario. Don't go with the obvious. There's too many quizzes out there now that do go with the obvious, like, you know, how to create your wedding budget quiz, and, you know, what type of budgeter are you, etc. They're a bit done. They really are. So you need to go deeper. You need to go right deep down and think about those insecurities, because those are the quizzes that will do well right now.
If you're in the business of making dreams come true, listen up, because the Wedding Academy is your ticket to success. Running a wedding business isn't always a walk down the aisle. It takes skill, savvy, and a whole lot of know-how. That's where the Wedding Academy swoops in to save the day. Imagine easy-to-follow certificate courses taught by industry pros covering everything from wedding styling to floral design to even marketing and business for any kind of wedding business. All Wedding Academy courses are 100% online, self-paced, and come with ongoing training and support to keep you up to date. And here's the cherry on top. I've wrangled up an exclusive deal. Just punch in the code PODCAST when you enroll and bam, you'll score a sweet 5% off any course. Ready to take your wedding business to the next level? Then head on over to the Wedding Academy today at weddingacademyglobal.com. Don't forget to plug in that code PODCAST to check out with your special discount.
I think also too, pain points is an obvious kind of format or structure for it, but another one could be to help them kind of crystallize their vision. You know,
they might
go to a florist, and I was like you, like I don't know the names of the flowers. I don't have any favorite flowers that resonate with me apart from wisteria, actually.
You know, I love that, the purple stuff.
That just happened to have been at the wedding venue when I inspected it, and I was like, oh my God, is this going to be here? And they said only for 2 weeks of the year, and I said, I'll get married in those 2 weeks. Have you got a Saturday? You know, that's how much strategy planning went into my flowers. But there's plenty of people, I'm sure, for example, taking the florist example, that would go to a florist and say, I don't know, like I like pink. You know, but you could do a quiz on the florist site, and it could play on sort of a connection, you know, like do you like the smell of this, or what's your favorite country, or, you know, like, and you could come out of that quiz and kind of go, here's the flowers, and they mean something, you know, and
it's all about telling a story. Absolutely.
Yes.
Which is what
and
you're
for
doing.
A florist, for a florist, it's given them this great blueprint of, well, we know exactly what flowers we're gonna work with, or, you know, at least a baseline just to sort of start with.
And you'll be amazed at how many people there are out there like that. Not everybody grows up, you know, flicking through bridal magazines and putting neck curtains over their heads pretending they're going to be a bride. You know, we're not all like that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I wasn't. I never liked flicking through wedding dresses. I rented mine because I couldn't be bothered. Like, it just, those things don't excite me. But there's a lot of people out there like that. And actually, what happens is you start feeling guilty about not being that person that knows what type of dress they want, knows what type of flowers they want, knows what type of table decorations they want, knows what type of table linen they want. So again, you could do the same thing if you are a linen supplier, for example. You could do it very much around the five senses and create a table that is based on, how do you want to feel when you sit down at the table? You know, what type of things do you like touching? Are you a velvet person? Do you like Hessian? Do you like something more rough and ready? Like, you know, you could go through so many different scenarios with that, but you could do a five senses around your wedding quiz. You know, there's just so many things you can do that are creative. This is such a cliche saying, but it's so true. You've got to think outside the box. And the best way to do that is go to the place where you feel creative. So for me, there's three places. In the shower, blow drying my hair for some unknown reason, and walking my dog. They are the three places I know that if I need to get inspiration, and it's just, you've got to kind of switch your mind off and think about things from a different perspective, but dig deep. It's not surface stuff. You've really got to go deep, and you can come up with something so creative like five senses, and then think about venues. I mean, venues would be an easy one to do a quiz around. What you're trying to do is really get them to think about their style. You know, if you walk down a street and you see an old building that's lopsided, how does that make you feel? Oh my God, run a mile. Or, oh, I feel like I could walk back in time going to, so you start to understand the type of person that would want an old building. They want somewhere that's got history and character and a story behind it. Or you've got other people that are ultra modern and want to take a warehouse and turn that into something different because you've got pipes running through the ceiling. And so you've got to think about all of those different types of people and how you can take what people think about and how they think about it and turn it into a quiz that makes sense for what you do.
Perfect. I love it. Okay. So say I've got my perfect irresistible quiz. What am I going to do to get people to see it and find it?
Yeah, that's the big question, isn't it? How do you market it? Well, yeah. Actually, the one thing with a quiz, so I am not a Facebook ad expert, not by a long shot. However, the one thing I will say is if you're ever going to spend money on advertising, doing Facebook ads for a quiz is, yes, you've got to spend a little bit money, but it's so cheap because with a quiz, you are literally just generating traffic to it. You're not doing any conversions, and the conversions are where you spend a lot of money. But one of the things we used to do with the Wedding Academy for quite a few years was just run traffic ads to the quiz. And you could get, we got it at one point down to something ridiculous, like 9 cents per lead. It was really low. So you can definitely do that type of thing because you don't have to be as targeted with the follow-up. A quiz is about traffic. That's what you want. You want to get the traffic and get that traffic coming through. However, the one thing you need to do is talk about it all the time. So when we do any type of promo for any of our clients, the first thing we try and do is write a blog post about the quiz, because blog posts are about SEO. Brings people to your website. And so you want to make sure that you've got a blog post that's dedicated to the quiz. Then you take all those quiz outcomes and you use some of that lovely juicy copy, not all of it, some of it. And this is where your little strategy acronym comes in as well. And you create blog posts around each of the outcomes as well. Because what you're doing now, that's long-term stuff. That isn't going to bring you in traffic overnight, but you want to make sure that you're getting plenty of people through. Pinterest is another great one. You need to make sure that you've created pins on each of your outcomes, pins on the quiz, because pins, again, long term, it's like a fine wine. Pinterest just grows better with age. And so you want to make sure that you do this stuff. But then for the short term, you need to be talking about it all the time. It should be at the top of your website with a, you know, one of those banners that's constantly there. I think we used to have one. I don't know if you've still got one on the Academy.
No, because I'm promoting my podcast.
Of course you are. But that brings me to another thing. Get yourself on industry podcasts. And then when somebody says to you at the end, how can people find you, Jack? You say, well, actually, I have a fabulous quiz that you can take that will help you decide whether or not these flowers are for you, or whether or not, you know, your couples need help with being more brave when it comes to photos, or whatever it is. Your quiz is a fantastic lead magnet. So don't get too clever with your quiz URL on your website, because otherwise nobody will remember what it is. And even you won't be able to remember what it is. So just have jackbowie.com/quiz, weddingacademy.com/quiz. So make it really, really simple so that you can remember it and everyone else can remember it. So talk about it on podcasts. Have it as the link on your Instagram. Make sure it is top of mind on your Facebook. Have it in your signature for your emails. It needs to be everywhere. So that is the easiest way that you can talk about it, because quizzes are fun. People want to talk about it. And then collaborate with other professionals and put together a sharing network where one week you email out somebody else's lead magnet, the next week it's yours, the next week it's somebody else's. Collaborations like that are so easy because you're using other people's audiences. OPA, remember that, other people's audiences. It's
love
a gem.
That.
Works really well. But it only works well if you do something in return. So I did this when I very first started off doing the quiz side of things. I teamed up with people that were relevant to quizzes. So I teamed up with somebody that worked on ActiveCampaign, because I use ActiveCampaign as a CRM for the quizzes. I teamed up with Interact, because they were my quiz platform. You know, I teamed up with different people who were relevant to my audience, and we all shared, we took a week to promote each other's lead magnets. And I think my email list grew by about 700 people just by doing that. So there is definitely power in other people's audiences. So, and you will already have worked on weddings with suppliers. You'll have a dream team of suppliers that you work with all the time. So you've already got that network built in. Use it. Don't be shy, because other people will want the promotion as much as you do. You're not asking them to promote something and then not giving them anything in return. No, you're all promoting each other. So those types of things work well. Instagram takeovers, again, you know, those types of things work perfectly with a quiz. If somebody else is talking about it, then you're going to need to do something for them as well. So it's always tit for tat with those types of things, but they do work well. The easiest way to do this is with other people's audiences.
Now, quick question around, if I was running an ad campaign for a quiz, I'm assuming you're going to say, and I've got Interact in mind at the moment, that you want to embed the quiz on the website, right? You don't want to send them to an Interact.
Oh, absolutely. That's a really, really, really good point that we haven't mentioned about yet, is when you're marketing your quiz, as I said, when I was saying about the quiz URL, you have to have a quiz promo page. And absolutely, your quiz, if it's not embedded onto the actual page itself, then it needs to be a page that has a big button that then brings a pop-up or then takes you to either Interact or Score App. They're the two big ones that I use. But never, ever, ever have your quiz hosted solely on the quiz platform's website. It should always come from you, because otherwise people don't see your website. And the whole point of this is to drive traffic to your website, which is why you have a quiz page on your site. So otherwise... Now, and they're really difficult to promote as well, because the URLs that Score App and Interact give you are just a load of gobbledygook numbers, so that you've got no chance of remembering those.
I need to interject myself, because there's one big other bonus that if you're bringing people to your website over Interact, for example, is you're capturing them as traffic, right? And you can retarget them. Absolutely. So you're getting people from a Facebook ad. Yes, you know, hopefully getting their email address and capturing them that way. But in a completely other way, the fact that they've become a click to the website, you can retarget them. And that's just a simple sales funnel strategy there. But you know, there's plenty more that you can do in terms of DMing on Instagram and going down.
Many chatbots
and all of that sort of stuff as well.
That's a really good point that you've just made there, because especially in the world that we're in at the moment, where the whole Yahoo, Google, all of them, the whole cookie thing, it's all about the cookies disappearing this year. And so therefore you can't target in the same way. Whereas if it's on your own website, totally different ball game. It's first party data instead of third party data. And I talk about this a lot within the quizzes. Third party data is the data that places like Facebook, Google, YouTube, etc., have collected for years, which they're now restricted on unless you give them permission to. But first party data, yes, you still need to have a cookie consent on your website, especially if you're in Europe. But first party data is the data you collect from your website, which you can absolutely retarget on. And that's a big thing that quizzes do for you as well. So I had something else I was going to say then. I've lost it.
Sorry to cut you off. I get so excited about stuff.
No, it's all good.
You know, I think thinking big picture about the entire funnel, you know, in terms of like the brand awareness, the middle of funnel, once they've shown interest and moving them down, you know, attacking the strategy of a quiz from that perspective, you know, doing a campaign that's all about driving people to the quiz is fantastic. But, you know, doing a retargeting campaign afterwards to the people that have done the quiz, they are much more likely to convert at that point, whether that's into, you know, your mid-price program, into, you know, with us, the certificate, whatever. But delivering those people a campaign, people don't find it offensive. If they've already shown interest and gone and done a quiz, they're much more, they've already seen the brand once, you know, if that's the only time that they're interacted with the quiz. But, you know, to retarget those people, you get so much more success when it comes to conversion. And, you know, maybe the strategy is that it's a traffic campaign and then it's a lead campaign or it's a conversion campaign that are slightly more expensive, but you've got that sort of really warmed up audience that have already shown more interest.
Absolutely. And that is where your email list comes in. So you can do some really clever things.
Give us a peek, Kylie, behind the curtain. What's the secret sauce for creating quizzes that convert like crazy?
This one's an easy one. I've already said this. You have to know your ideal client inside out. Like, this is the foundation of so, I mean, it sounds like, again, like a cliche, and it is the foundation of so much when it comes to marketing. But if you don't do that hard work in the first place, and I take my clients through this all the time, and you'll be amazed how many don't really, when it comes down to it, understand. So we do a lot of research, and by research, what I mean is, if, for example, one of my clients has a Facebook group, we do polls in the Facebook group to find out different answers to the different questions that we've got. Part of my research will be to go through every single piece of content that they have where people are asking questions or being involved. So, for example, their audience, the best place is definitely a Facebook group. But even on their Facebook page or their Instagram feed, I'll go through and I look at comments that people are making. I want to know how people are describing things. So I always liken myself to becoming a little bit of a detective, because you've got to do a lot of work. You need to do a mine of your inbox is another really good place to go. So look at all those questions you get from clients. What are they talking about? What are they asking you? What are the things you hear in consultations all the time? So you want to really, and as I said before, it's getting it from their voice, not yours. Because the way you and I describe something would be completely different to how one of our leads would describe something. So this is probably the biggest key to it all, is using their language. So when I'm creating a quiz for a client, I come up with a language document. And that language document has been created from all the different things that I've researched. So if they've got a YouTube channel, I'll go through all their videos and I'll see who's commented, how they're talking, how they're referring to things, what they're saying. I do the same in their Facebook group, the same on their Facebook page, same on their Instagram. I get them to do a mine of their inbox. And we look at other people as well. So we'll look at their competition. How do their competition stack up? Are you in one of their Facebook groups or on a Facebook page? And this isn't about posting or poaching people's clients. This is just to look at what people are saying. So then think about those big Facebook groups for wedding pros that have couples in them. Go in there and see how people are describing things. Get their language. It's so important. And as I say, you're not trying to get somebody else's clients. You're just trying to understand how leads describe your product or service that you offer, and also how they describe the problems that they've got. How do they talk about it?
I think also just to use their language, that alone, you know, is just going to reinforce that they're dealing with the right person. That's
absolutely
the right fit, right? If I'm doing my quiz and you use the word unpack, I'm going to go, that's the one. I like to use that
exactly
word.
Exactly.
You know, it's when you're selecting winning vendors and suppliers and whatnot, you know, you want to resonate.
Yeah, you've got to be singing from the same song sheet. Yeah, otherwise,
I agree with you.
It just doesn't work. But you'll be amazed how many people leave that step out. And, you know, it can take me a day.
Yeah.
I will literally set a day aside to do language mining, as I call it.
I love it.
And that's what it's been my time. Like, it's just the biggest part of it. And the other tip I will give you, don't be tempted to change it. I mean, obviously, if they've not used a capital letter where they should be, change it. You know, if it needs a comma, put it in. You know, don't be stupid. But mainly, don't change their language. That is the point of this. You might be tempted. People like me are always tempted to go, oh, my God, I'd never say that. That sounds awful.
It's
not about me. It's about them, okay?
Yes.
You have to remember that. You know, whatever you're writing, you always keep your audience in mind. And then a big tip I also give all of my clients is, when we have created the quiz results, I always go through for my clients. I don't get them to do it. I do it. I read through it out loud. Because when you read things out loud, they sound totally, don't ask me why, they sound totally different to how they are when they're written. So you need to read them the way your clients would probably read them. And you'll be amazed how many little things you come up with. You go, that sounds a bit weird. Or that doesn't sound right. Or, oh, I need a comma there. It's a really good way to edit yourself. Because like I say, you can get really carried away with the writing side of it, but you do need to read it out loud. It will give you a whole different perspective on what you've written within those quiz results as well. But going back to something you also mentioned earlier, which was the quiz funnel side of it. So we've mm-hmm. talked very much about creating the quiz as a lead generator, as a traffic generator. What we haven't talked about is what you do with those leads once you've got them. You don't just get them and then forget about them. Like, you've got to nurture those babies. You've got to make them fall in love with you. And that's a big part of what a quiz can do, because as you quite rightly said, they're much more open to hearing from you because they've received something that is just so, you know, jaw-droppingly brilliant that they want to actually hear from you. So make sure they do. So you need to create an email sequence that goes along with your quiz. And you might hate emails, but you've already got all the information you need. So when I'm creating an email sequence for my clients, I totally cheat, because all I'm doing is using all that juicy content I spent hours and hours and hours and hours and hours writing within the quiz results, because nobody is going to read all that stuff on the page and have it all sink in. They're going to forget about it. But you've spent hours creating that stuff. So you regurgitate that within the emails, come up with some sexy subject lines to make them go, ooh, what's that? And you're reiterating everything that they found out in their quiz results. But to do that, you also need to be able to segment your leads.
Yes.
Which is what a quiz does really well. So with Interact and Score app, they can segment your leads into your chosen CRM. Now, I am an active campaign girl, but it works in ConvertKit. It works in MailerLite. Pretty much every single type of CRM there is will work with those different quiz platforms. And what it does is the quiz platform speaks to the CRM. And what you're doing is you're pulling in information. And at its most basic form, you need to make sure that there is a way of segmenting each lead with the quiz result they received.
Yes.
So I segment with custom fields. And you can create custom fields in pretty much any CRM. Mm-hmm. We'll stick with Active Campaigns terminology because it's the one I know best. But they all have them, so don't worry. So what you're doing is you, in the back end of Interact, there is the integration section. So you integrate it with your chosen CRM, and you do that by using the API URL and the API secret password, which is easy to find within your CRM. Once you've done that, it will then come up with a list of options. And so what I do is I map the results across. So I choose in Interact, let's say that I'm talking about, oh, I don't know, Chaotic Kate, because she comes to mind for my web designer that I'm working on at the moment. I need to know that Chaotic Kate gets entered into the custom field in Active Campaign for the lead. So what it will do is the minute a lead gives you their information, you can then get it to pull in the name, email address, and anything else you want it to from the quiz into your CRM. That then gives you the ability to segment. So at its most basic form, all you're doing is saying this quiz result needs to be mapped across into the quiz result custom field in my CRM. If it's this one needs, so all of them have to be mapped across. So then when you're creating your emails, you can then do what we call conditional content, which means you can create a block in your email that says only send this block to the person that has this quiz result in this custom field.
Yes.
That's how you send very targeted emails instead of generic emails. And it's really, really important that you understand that, because otherwise you're sending out a load of generic stuff, which is not what you want to be doing.
Another way,
the power of a quiz comes in that whole targeted side of things. That's the power of the quiz.
Another way that people can Another way that people can do it in Interact with ActiveCampaign is a certain result tags them in a certain way. You know, it's a simplified yes. way. So if you're just getting started, that might be a way to do it. You know, say it's the Wedding Academy quiz and it's spat out that that person's great at wedding planning over wedding styling or floral design. That have that tag that marks that person, it enters them into ActiveCampaign or MailChimp or whatever it is your system is,
yeah.
Tags them in that way. And then you've got something in the back end that creates a list of those people. So you can yeah. create, whether it's just a follow-up series, but you can talk with confidence that you were interested at this and you were good at this, you know, or you can create a whole funnel around that way. This is another way to do it, I guess.
Oh, and it's absolutely brilliant because if you take the custom field side of things, you can also create a custom field for each of the actual answers,
yes.
which I do. So that takes it to a whole other level. So let's say, for example, that I had created a quiz and one of the questions was, what's your favorite social media platform? I can then, within the emails, refer to, and as you told me, Jack, your favorite social media platform is Instagram. So that's what we're going to focus on in this email, how Instagram can help you to really move your business forward, blah, 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 blah. How much more personalized is
yeah.
that
yeah.
than if you're actually a Facebook girl and you're like, I don't give a shit about Instagram. I want to know about Facebook. So just by creating custom fields, you create a custom field for each of the answers that you know you would reuse. You don't need to bring them all in. Bring in the ones that are really important. Now, this leads me quite nicely, actually, onto questions, because your questions are really important. And one of the biggest questions I get is, how many questions should I have in my quiz? No more than 10. People have a short attention span.
Yep.
Don't bore them. You know, you need to keep them engaged. And the only way you're going to keep them engaged is keeping it short and sweet. But here's how I look at questions. So questions are a bit like a story arc. So when you're telling a story, you start at the beginning. When you read a book, you think about, they have that introduction bit. And within literally the first couple of chapters, they've got to pull you in, drawn you in. Otherwise, you're like, nah, this book's boring. You're on to the next. So that's the start of your quiz questions. You need to, you know, go gently. Don't hit them too hard with anything, you know, too full on. So those first couple of questions are going to be like that. Then you move up the story arc. And as you move up, the intensity of the questions begins. So that's where you're going to have your really meaty ones that are going to diagnose them. Then as you come down the story arc, you start to gently bring them down, but to a point where they're like, oh my God, I want the sequel. I want to know what's next. And that's when they give you your email address. So just a little note on that, which it's what I was wanting to say earlier that I forgot, was do not ask for the email address up front. You haven't got their interest yet.
Yeah.
The always ask, and you have the option with those quiz platforms. They'll say to you, and Score App always does it by default at the front. Don't do it. Suicide.
Yeah.
Just, it's not going to work. You want to ask for the email address at the end. Once they've taken those interesting, introspective questions of yours, that's when you want to do it. So how do we do the questions? Okay, so there's three different types of questions, okay? So the first type of question is the question that actually is all about finding out about them. So that question type, you would normally do 4 or 5 questions, because I call them diagnosis questions. So you're diagnosing the root of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So your diagnosis questions are very much about them, asking questions that are going to lead them to go into one of 3 or 4 buckets, outcomes, results, whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
Then you have your non-diagnosis questions. Now, these are the most important ones for you, because the quiz isn't just about your leads. Your quiz is about you as well. So non-diagnosis questions, think about them as how, if you knew this information, would you better sell better to your clients? So if you knew XYZ about your client, you would then better sell to them better. So the best example I can give you here is finding out how somebody makes purchases, because I'm very much a girl that buys on the spur of the moment. I don't go away and think about it for hours on end. I go with my gut instinct and it's either right or not. And I so totally buy into those countdown timers. It's ridiculous. I should know better as a marketer, but it draws me in every time. Now, if you're somebody that does their research and likes to think about things, a countdown timer at the top of an email is going to totally turn you off. So if you know about this in advance, you can sell better.
Yep.
You can send them emails that don't have a countdown timer and people like me emails that do have a countdown timer. I love scarcity. It works for me every time, but it doesn't work for everybody.
Yep.
So think about your non-diagnosis questions as questions that are going to give you information about your clients so that you can sell your services to them a lot better. Okay. And then you've got the inspirational question, and you only ever want one of these, but this is where you position your product with their end result in mind. Okay. So it's a question. It's a really difficult one to explain without seeing in action. But what you're getting them to do is to think about, imagine now if, so my one is always based around, how would you celebrate when your quiz is bringing you in hundreds of clients a week? Would you run out into the nearest field and sing your favorite ABBA song? Would you bang on Kylie's door and have a glass of champagne with her? Would you phone everybody you knew and tell them how wonderful you are? Like, so that's the way I do that, because that's a celebration, but it's making them think about, oh my God, I'd feel amazing if I was getting all those quiz leads and kind of
visualizing.
So I'm, it's a visualization inspiration question. So that's how you do your question. So that's right. It's how you do them. So think about those three buckets. You start off with a couple of very, very easy ones. You know, if it's about planning your wedding, how far into the planning stage are you? You know, I've got, or how far away is your wedding? Or, you know, something that's very easy for them to answer that's not too intrusive, and build the level of the questions as you go, so it works in with that story arc, and leave your non-diagnosis ones to the end. And one of my favorite questions, and I know it's one of my favorite questions because my clients and my leads absolutely love it. I have a question that I use all the time. It's ring, ring, the quiz hotline. How can I help you? So in your case, this would be ring, ring, you've reached the floral design hotline. How can I help you? And that one works really well because it's a really fun question. And what you're doing, the answer options are going to be, I have absolutely no idea what type of flowers I like. Can you help me? I don't know which colors are going to work for my flowers with my wedding. So, and you're giving them the answers, but what that is doing is it's telling you what their issue is.
Yeah. I love it.
You see how these work?
Yeah. I love it. I think we need to work that into a Wedding Academy one.
Oh, definitely.
While I was listening to you, I was just thinking at the moment, I'm really enjoying learning about, messenger funnels. You know, particularly these kind of DM me on Instagram and it kickstarting, whether it's a chatbot situation or it legit is start a conversation with this person. But also, I don't know if a lot of people know that are listening, but you know, the minute that someone initiates conversation with you on Messenger, you're able to send them ads, Messenger ads. You're not allowed to until that happens. So, you know, it's great to have the email series and that sort of following them up, but start to think creatively about, you know, you're like, maybe your ideal client is mostly on Instagram. Like maybe that's where you're going to connect even more. And
yeah.
And maybe that's where they're going to be more tempted if they're hot and they really want to take the next step with you. You know, it could be as simple as, what did you think of the quiz? Send me a DM on Instagram. I'd love to hear, you know.
Ah, that's one of the emails that we do within the sequence.
So you could do it in an email, but you can also do it. If your strategy is, I want to get them in Instagram, I want to serve them ads in their inbox, either on Facebook Messenger or Instagram Messenger, then get them to send you, make one of those steps to send you a message, because from there you're able to deliver. And, you know, the conversions on those can be exceptional to do messenger campaigns and deliver.
Yeah, definitely.
Not necessarily an ad in their messenger, but continue the conversation, right? How's it going? What have you been doing since you did your quiz? Like, you know, starting those
very
kind of conversations.
Powerful.
Okay. So what would be, just hang on. Sorry, Kylie. Just let me have a look. We've actually covered so much of this. I love it.
I know. I figured we'd talk it through without even you needing to ask the questions, because once I get going.
Michael's going to kill me. He's going to be like, oh, my God, I have to stop, start, cut, like so much with you two chatting. And anyway.
Oh, God, I need a wee.
Sorry. We'll wrap it up in a sec. Oh, my God, you've answered so much of it.
Yeah, I figured it would work like that.
Okay. Okay, so I've got another one for you. Quizzes are the ultimate shareable content, right? People love to not only share, oh, I found this cool quiz, but they like to share their results, right? They love to share, I got this, blah, 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 and share it on their Facebook. So I know Interact's got something inbuilt there in that when they land on their results page, right, they can share their results.
Yeah, no, don't do that. Share, but do not build your quiz results on the Interact pages.
No.
Do not do it.
No, but
so
is that option?
That is like the.
Is that option there when you're in bed?
No. Okay, so you build your quiz on Interact.
Right.
But your quiz results shouldn't be an Interact page. Your quiz results need to be built on your own website, because it's the worst thing you can do is to, A, their quiz result page builder is horrible, and B, you've got no control over the look and feel of it. You can do no branding on there, and it doesn't allow for trackability either, okay. So don't do it.
So that's a bad idea. Don't listen to me.
But the share bit is, but do it on your quiz result page, build it in. So what you can do is, rather than trying to sell to them in, because we never actually got to section 7 of the quiz result page, we did the, we talked about the fact that section 6 is all about you, with your nice picture and your non-CV talk about yourself. But then you've got one section at the bottom. Now, some people will use that to sell. I always say don't do that, because it's too early in the game to be able to do that. Instead, that is exactly where I would say share your results, but then also follow that up in email. So what you can do is the first email that you get send them should be delivering the results, and they'll open that one because they'll be excited about that one. But then 15 minutes later, I send another one with the subject line of, did you get it?
Yes.
?
Yes.
And that, I've got stats on this, is the most opened email that I ever send anyone, because it's curiosity. Curiosity killed the cat. So, you know, everyone wants to say, did I get it? Did I get what? And they open it. And all you say to them then is, because of the way the email gods work, or words to this effect, you know, it would be really helpful for me if you could just hit reply and tell me that you got my email with the quiz results, so that I don't end up in your junk folder. You'll be amazed how many people do it. And just say to them, all you need to do is hit reply and say the word yes. So you don't even need to type very much. But in that same email, you also say, and here's a little fun thing for you to share. And it's a pre-designed Instagram story graphic saying, I did the wedding planning, in my case, but let's say I did the wedding planning quiz, and I'm actually planning Penny or whatever. And then you say to them, download this, share it on Instagram and tag me.
Love it.
And then that way you can start a conversation with them in their DMs.
I love it.
But do it in that email when they're super engaged. That email is the most opened email, so you're likely to see much better results. That's how I do that one.
We've actually started using something like that for our thank you page. When people get their Wedding Academy certificate, when they enroll, one of the pages that they're redirected to is like, you know, thank you, and your logins will come to your email and blah, blah, blah. But do us a favor and take a screenshot of this page and share it. And, you know, because it's, you know, they've just started this new career. It's exciting.
Absolutely.
It's worth sharing. So, oh, Kylie.
That's a good idea. It works well.
It's always a pleasure to chat with you. I just love spending time with you. When are we going to be together in your party barn and having a hot tub and drinking champagne? When is this happening?
Oh, you need to get your butt over here, madam, and then we can do it anytime you want to. It's so funny because you being all the way over in Australia, me being here in France, it's, you know, we're a world apart, but we're not. We've spent so many hours chatting together, and I honestly cannot think of anyone who I would rather have had the Wedding Academy go to. I've been loving watching what you're doing with it. And I think, you know, like I said right at the beginning, there comes a time when a brand needs a real shakedown. And it was time for me to step away. 15 years is a long time.
Yeah.
And just seeing what you're doing with it is wonderful. Aww. So I am very happy.
Thank you. Thank you. It's hard when you buy and sell a business, right? I've had a couple of experiences that weren't great, and I didn't like what they did with the business. So it genuinely means a lot to hear that from you.
No, I think it's brilliant, and it's lovely to see you taking it to the next level and doing new things with it as it goes onwards and upwards. So yeah, I'm very happy from my little house here in France, where I'm living the rural life. And, you know, there's so many things that happen to me now that just make me smile. For example, my next door neighbor, Stefan, who is very, very French, has just recently taken in a wild baby boar. And you go around to his house and you think, only in rural France would I see a baby boar running around somebody's living room. Yeah, you know, it's the most bizarre things that happen, but life is fun.
Good segue. So before I let you go, why don't you tell us about the other project that you've been working on?
Yeah, I am. So many people talk to me about, why France? Why did you move to France? What's your life like? How rural is it? You know, do you really eat baguettes and croissants every single day? Yeah, I do. Do you drink lots of wine? Yeah, I do. And so I was getting all these questions. And so I have now started my own travel blog, and it is literally lifeinruralfrance.com. But the more exciting news is, because I missed doing a podcast so much and I've really enjoyed doing it, that I'm starting my own podcast about life in rural France.
Oh, wow.
That launches on Tuesday the 19th of March. So there is a little tiny trailer episode up. But yeah, I'm dropping 5 episodes on Tuesday, which is exciting. And so people can binge listen, and then there'll be weekly episodes after that, all about the culture of France, the history of France, living in rural France, you know, going to the night market, even things down to, you know, what were the last words that Marie Antoinette said before they chopped off her head. You know, I have just discovered so much and so many little fun facts and quirks that I'm sharing them all on the podcast.
Oh, my God, I love it.
Well, yeah.
Well, I'll listen, because I need to do some research ahead of my visit when I come visit you, so I can be like, Kylie, we're going here, we're doing this, I heard about this, this sounds great, let's go there.
I will be a willing participant.
I've got a girlfriend here in Australia who's French, who's just gone back to France to work for Air France. So I've got a couple of excuses at the moment. I think I have to move France up the list. So KylieLang.com is the place to go if you need a quiz strategist to help you with your creating a quiz or a quiz funnel for your wedding business. And there is a free quiz on there that you can take, which is called What is the Best Lead Generation Quiz for Your Business, which is bloody perfect for anyone listening today. If you want to figure out what actual quiz could I do? Because I'm sure that's what you're all thinking at this point. So head to KylieLang.com and go and take her free quiz. I'm sure it's at the top in the bar, isn't it? Without even
looking. It is, and it's just /quiz.
/quiz.
It would be.
There you go. if you just want to go bang straight there.
Yeah.
KylieLang.com/quiz. You can also connect with Kylie. Send her a DM on Instagram. It's KylieCarlton.co is her username. And you can find her also on Facebook and Pinterest, and her username there is Quiz Funnel Formula. And Kylie, where can people find out about life in rural France?
Really easy. Everything is Life in Rural France. So it's lifeinruralfrance.com.
Yep.
Instagram is Life in Rural France. Facebook is Life in Rural France. Pinterest is Life in Rural France.
Easy.
So it's really, really easy
to
find and connect. And of course, the podcast, which is, surprisingly, lifeinruralfrance.com/podcast. Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. Real easy one to do. Oh, and you can take my French quiz as well, and it will be a really good, it will show you the difference between one that's more for businesses, which the lead generation one is, but then how I've taken that same principle and structure and used it to create a quiz all about France. So again, you'll just see a different usage of questions and different ways of doing things. So you can take that one again, and guess what that URL is? lifeinruralfrance.com/quiz.
All right.
So it just gives you those different ways of looking at it, and it might spark some ideas for you.
Now, Kylie, I'm gonna leave it there, because I wasn't gonna tell you, but I am gonna tell you, I need to go and move my quiz off the Interact landing page. Like
yes,
yesterday.
You do.
Apparently. So I am going to have to wrap it up there. But what a joy, as always, catching up with you. We need to, well, we don't need to find another excuse. We don't need much of an excuse to do this again.
But there's never an excuse.
But think of me. Think of me anytime you come across something cool and valuable that a wedding business owner needs to know about. I want you to tell me first, because you know, we're absolutely going to change people's lives with this podcast. We're going to help them build the wedding business of their dreams. So I need you in my corner.
Always.
All right, darling, take care, and we'll speak soon.
See you soon. All right, bye.
This episode of Wedding Empires is brought to you by The Wedding Academy, where you can start and grow your wedding business. We offer certificate courses, group coaching programs, and a whole heap of templates and worksheets and things to help you get started and grow your wedding business. For more information, visit weddingacademyglobal.com. And don't forget to use your 5% discount code PODCAST when checking out. This episode of Wedding Empires is brought to you by The Wedding Academy, where you can start and grow your wedding business. We offer certificate courses, group coaching programs, and a whole heap of templates and worksheets and things to help you get started and grow your wedding business. For more information, visit weddingacademyglobal.com. And don't forget to use your 5% discount code PODCAST when checking out.